Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life. Share your prayer requests or pray for others. Read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. It's an absolute delight to be back here again. Thank you, Pastor Pete, for... Yeah, landscape. Yes, that's it.
So,
I can talk. Okay, no, just might need my help. It hasn't been your best day. It is fantastic to be back with you. And I will be down a couple more times this year. Dan, are you able to come and sort this out? No, he's got it. It's all good. Yeah. Can I just say too, I said it last night, but I absolutely was delighted to be here for Phil and Ruth's farewell dinner last night. That was just a great, great privilege. And having been part of this journey, the journey of this church since its inception, this always feels home. And so many of you I've gotten to know and to love. Some of you I've just gotten to know. No, I'm only playing. By the way, while I think of it, I do want to just bring greetings from Pastor Mike Kelly. I was talking with Mike on Friday, and absolutely, Mike had been here previously, but absolutely fell in love with this church when he was here for the conference just a few weeks ago, and asked me would I please pass on his love and greetings to you. And I know, during that weekend, in fact, he was just texting me constantly about what was happening and kept saying this is just such an awesome church, an amazing church, which it is because you're here. True, the church is what it is because we are the church. Can I just say, and some of you don't realize, but you are incredibly creative. Now some of you go, no, I'm not creative. I mean, these guys and, you know, people like Pastor Pete, and, you know, they're very creative. And no, you are creative. Now, maybe not in the sense you might not be able to sing or play an instrument or paint or whatever, but right now you are creating atmosphere, circumstances around your life that is far more creative than you realize. Individually, we create, and then that has an impact on us corporately. How many of you have ever said about somebody, you saw something happen and you've made a comment like, oh, he had that coming, or she had that coming? How many of you have ever kind of been in that scenario? Why? Because you saw that person was, through their actions, their attitudes, their words, whatever it was, they were creating and setting up and positioning themselves for whatever it was. And right now, you and I, by virtue of our attitudes, our actions, our thoughts, so many areas, we are creating our future. We are creating the atmosphere around our lives. We are creating so many things, and not just in our own individual lives, but corporately when we come together. I'm incredibly grateful for the family background that I've had because my parents set the scene for me. I had the most wonderful parents that I could have ever hoped for and asked for, and both of them have passed away over the last couple of years. But they positioned me positively for life, their values, their example. But, you know, the truth is I have to make the most of that because regardless of whatever the platform, whatever our background, we then have to capitalize on the opportunities that we have. We all have incredible opportunity. This church has amazing opportunity. I marvel at the goodness of God that has brought us thus far. And it is mind-blowing. It's mind-boggling. But how many of you know that we're not finished yet? In fact, this is just the beginning. There's a lot more to come, and God has a lot more He wants to do in terms of this church impacting this community, this region, and beyond. But so much of that depends upon the atmosphere that we create. How many of you have a favorite coffee shop, restaurant, cafe. Give me a wave. You got it? Yeah, yeah. No, McDonald's doesn't count, Pastor Pete. Sorry. It's a place that you love to visit maybe again and again. You're considered maybe a regular. Sometimes we have a favorite holiday spot. I know there's a number of families here that Turner's Beach is a favorite holiday spot. And you favor that place, be it a coffee shop or whatever, because of certain conditions, the atmosphere, the environment. There's certain things, and you go again and again. I was in Thailand just 2 or 3 weeks ago and for a few days, and the first morning there I woke up and I thought, oh man, I'd love to get a really good coffee. I didn't want to have to drive to one of the major hotels to... So I did consulted my friend Google, and it said there was a coffee shop only 4 kilometres, I had to hire a car, only about 4 or 5 kilometres from where I was, called Hideaway Cafe. So I thought, I'll give it a shot. And there was some good reviews. They had a Facebook page, and you know, you never know quite what you're going to find in Thailand. And it lived up to its name. It was Hideaway Cafe. Seriously, it was only 4 or 5 kilometres away. It took me 35 minutes to find it. It was hidden away. I drove past it 3 times. I mean, it was... But then when I found it, I went there and walked in and go, wow. And it was a coffee shop that would not have been out of place in Melbourne or where. I mean, it was just beautiful. The manager, the guy that was running it, actually could speak reasonable English. He had worked in hospitality in the Sheraton for 20 years. And his brother-in-law, who owned it, actually had been a general manager in hotels in different parts of the world. So this coffee shop suddenly, and it was just the decor, the atmosphere was just so beautiful, kind of in the middle of the of like bush and so on. It was just beautiful. It found my favor, and the few days I was there, I went every day, again, again, and again. Now, can I just say to you that just as you might have a favorite cafe, coffee shop, whatever it is that you favor because of certain conditions and qualities, God also looks for certain qualities, certain conditions, certain atmospheres. And when he finds those, he will, like you, he will come again and again and again because he favors that. He favors that. And so I want this morning, just in the, you know, this time we have, I just want to talk about 4, and there are more, but in fact I can think of another 3 or 4 straight off the top of my head. So this is not the complete list. But here's 4 things that I think in our lives, individually and corporately, help create a place that God favors. I'd like to be a place and a life that God favors, where he comes. Now, we know he never leaves us, but how many of you know that the presence and the power of God can be evident in our lives and in our church in manifest presence and power? That's what we want, not just in name, but in reality and in power and in presence. And there are certain things that God looks for, that God favors, that we can position ourselves and create the atmosphere upon which God's favor rests. And like we go again and again to our favorite place, God will go again and again. How many of you know that just because you put the name church over a door doesn't mean that it's necessarily God's going to turn up? Yeah. So what is favor? Favor, you know, when something or someone finds favor, like at that coffee shop or whatever, in your eyes, it's pleasing. It's a delight. You find favor, you want to bless them. I mean, Haley finds favor in Dan's eyes. Oh, yeah. And in fact, yeah, you know, it was her birthday on the 11th of February, and you go, wow, how do you know that? Same day as my birthday. So a lot of great people born on the 11th of February. This year, you know, Dan said, oh, I'd love to really just, you know, I want to do something nice. And he said, I'd like to take you out. And she said, well, and Haley's not normally this sort of person. So she said, And it's all because she finds favor in his eyes. And she said to him, listen, could you take me somewhere expensive? So we took her to the local petrol station. Yeah. No. There are numbers of different words in the Bible, Old and New Testament, in the original language that are translated into the English word favor. Other words that have the same root are words that mean grace, pleasure, pleasing, delight, blessing. So when Jesus teaches and he says, blessed is the man, blessed, it means that favor is upon. Favored is the man, favored is the woman, blessed. How many of you know the Bible says Noah found grace, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord? Listen to some of these verses, and I'm just so you understand that this is a biblical concept. Psalm 119:58 says, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. His favor. Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. When the angel came and visited Mary, in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel says to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found what? You found favor with God. And even Jesus himself, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. How's your favor rating? I can't answer that. But how many of you know that favor? I don't know about you, but I want the favor of God on my life. I want his delight. I want him to be pleased. My heart's desire for this house, and God is here. His presence is here. We've felt it this morning, sensed it this morning. But how many of you know we want more? And I want this to be a house that is one that God favors, where he comes again and again, because he loves the atmosphere. He loves what's here. So let me just give you quickly four things that I think, and as I said, this list is not a comprehensive list. Four things that create the environment, the characteristics of the environment that God favors and loves and where he comes. Number one is where there is faith, F-A-I-T-H. Where there is faith. How many of you know that faith is absolutely essential to enjoying God's favor on your life? The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's quite difficult to please God. No, actually, it says, without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, must believe that he is, that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God rewards and blesses faith. His favor is upon those who have faith. God responds to faith. So I'm fascinated by the story when Jesus goes to Nazareth, his hometown. And in Mark chapter 6, from verse 5 and 6, it says, he couldn't do any miracles there, except lay his hands upon a few sick people and heal them. That's not bad. That's good. And he was amazed, verse 6 says, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Faith. There was an attitude, there was an atmosphere created by the people in that environment where it limited Jesus. It blows my mind. He couldn't do what he would normally love to do. Couldn't do many great miracles there because there was a familiarity. There was a lack of faith. You know, I think one of the great challenges when we've been on the journey, for those of us that have been on the journey for some time, is that the faith edge of our life can get dulled and blunted. And we can become familiar almost. And yet, God loves the atmosphere of faith. I mean, the story in Matthew chapter 9 of the man who is paralyzed and his friends bring him to Jesus. They can't get near him for the crowd. Jesus is in the house. So they climb up on the roof and they rip the tiles off and let the man down. Man, I love that story. How many of you know it goes against, can you imagine the management committee? But here's the thing, here's the interesting thing. They brought him, and when Jesus saw not the man's faith, when he saw their faith, he said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Wow. The woman who for 12 years had been hemorrhaging and according to Jewish law, she shouldn't have even been there in public, but in the crowd, and she knows if she can just press through and touch the hem of his garment, and when she does, he turns around and he says to her, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." It was faith that released the presence and the power, the miracle-working power of God. And when faith is present in the atmosphere, God's favor is bestowed. His presence is evident. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's another whole subject. What are you hoping for? That's the starting point. Faith is a form of knowledge that really transcends the intellect. It's quite remarkable. It's a spiritual, it's a spiritual quality, reality. And it comes by hearing the 6 o'clock news. Oh, no, sorry. It comes, how many of you know you don't get a lot of faith by hearing the 6 o'clock news? No, faith comes by hearing what? The Word of God. Getting the Word of God into our hearts. I was talking with Colin Overton yesterday and he was saying about the Gideon's app and how they've been just playing it, even when they go to sleep at night, and it just plays, the Word of God just plays. That's great, because even subliminally it's getting in. And faith, God rewards and blesses faith. His favor is upon those who have faith. But what good is faith, James says, if it has no action? If it's not accompanied by action. I don't need to turn to the scriptures this morning. But let me, before I move on to the next point, let me just talk about one other incident that I love. It's in Acts 14, verse 9. And Paul is preaching. There's a man there who has been crippled, been lame since birth, and he's listening to Paul speak. And it says in verse 9, Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed. What did he see? He saw that he had faith. When God looks at you, what does he see? And he called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and began to walk. So what does faith look like? I tell you, I think it looks like action. I think faith looks like response to God. I think faith looks like the woman pressing through the crowd against the obstacles. Faith looks like the paralyzed man's friends ripping off the tiles on the roof to get him to the presence of Jesus. It looks like Paul and Silas singing at midnight. That's faith. It looks like Peter stepping out of the boat. Many times the reason that our faith is lacking is because we're still sitting in the place where we found ourselves placed maybe a long time ago by circumstances or whatever. And God looks for us to put legs on our faith. Praise. Legs on your prayer life so that we can move on to the more that He has. And faith gets God's attention because faith honors God. God honors faith. And when Paul looked at this man, he saw expectancy and enthusiasm. He saw something. By the way, enthusiasm is a God word. You know the Latin roots of that word? En means in, and theos means God. So it's all right to be enthusiastic in church. Is that okay? It's all right to be enthusiastic about God. It's all right to be enthusiastic about praise. In praise, you can be enthusiastic. Faith, when Paul looked at the man, he saw a man who was already running in his spirit. He saw a man that was leaping up and down on the inside even before there was physical manifestation. Faith looks like unbridled enthusiasm. God loves that. that atmosphere, and we can create it. We can have it. Creates an atmosphere where God will come. Second thing is unity. Unity. Psalm 133, and I'm sure many of us know it well, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. And sisters. Okay. And he goes on to talk about how that's like the anointing oil. And then in verse 3 of that chapter, he says, for that's where God, there, where there is unity, God bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. God loves an atmosphere where there's harmony and unity. I mean, you know it. How many of you have ever been to someone's place, you know, maybe you go in there for dinner or whatever, and you walk in, you can tell there's just been a Barney. There's just been an argument. It's like, you ever, or maybe you're the one that's inviting people, maybe, you know, but you walk in and there's a coldness in the atmosphere. There's like icicles, you know, you can tell. And after a while it thaws out, and I see some of you nodding and smiling, and it can be uncomfortable when you're in an atmosphere where you don't want to be there when there's conflict. You don't want to be in an atmosphere. It's not comfortable to be there where there's disunity and disharmony. I don't know how many of you have ever been to an orchestral performance. You know, maybe a symphony orchestra, which is just wonderful. But there's a point before they start where they're all just warming up and tuning up. You ever been to that? And if that was the whole performance, I wouldn't stay. Like if that was going to be for the next hour and a half, I'm out of there because it's an atmosphere of discord and disharmony. But oh, when they start to play in harmony, when there's unity, oh, how the atmosphere changes. You want to be there. It catches you up. And let me tell you, that's exactly what God loves amongst his people. Where there is, and I've heard Pastor Pete preach great series, I think, at the First Home Conference. Great message on this from Corinthians about the body and many parts and the difference between unity even and harmony, but working together where there's not discord. Jesus himself said, if a house be divided against itself, it can't stand. It can't stand. That principle applies in every situation in life. Let me just read, before we move on to the next point, let me just read this prayer that Jesus prayed for us, the church. And I think if Jesus prayed this, it's got to have some real significance and importance. So in John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23, Jesus says this, praying to the Father. He says, my prayer is not for them alone, and he's talking about the disciples that are with him. I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message. So Jesus was praying for you and me. Because down through the generations, we have believed because of that original group of disciples who took the message and spread the gospel. So Jesus, is that acceptable? Jesus is praying for us. And this is what he prays, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world... This is fascinating. And we don't have time to kind of drill down into this, but listen to why. One of the reasons why is so that the world may believe. Very often the world has pointed the finger at the church and said they can't even get their own act together, and often that's been true. But he prays that we might be one so the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, and here it is again, to let the world know you have sent me. And I've loved them even as you have loved me. Wow, that's pretty powerful. If that was so important to Jesus that he prayed that in the closing stages of his earthly ministry, we need to take note. One of the things I love about this church, and it's not perfect, and that's because you're here. there is. If you find the perfect church, don't go there. You will ruin it. Yeah. Now, the truth is that none of us are, and there is no such thing as the perfect church. But you know, one of the things I love about this church, that whilst there are moments and there are times of tension or discord at different levels, that's the reality of life and people. But there is a great sense of harmony and unity and family. And every family has a strange cousin. So that's just... Don't look around. Okay, don't look around. There's some very interesting stuff. In fact, I saw recently on one of David Attenborough's programs, quite remarkable now what they do. And some of those wildlife programs are just remarkable. But I saw one a little while back, but I'd read this before, but I saw one where they'd mounted, obviously, a camera on the wing of a goose. And it was showing the footage as the geese flied in formation, and just remarkable. But there's some interesting things that science has discovered about geese. And you know how they fly in a V formation? You've seen that. It's been learned that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift or an updraft for the bird immediately following it. And by flying in V formation as they do, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying capacity than if they were flying on their own or flying out of formation. And can I say to you this morning that as believers and Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, if we get a hold of the understanding and the power of what Jesus prayed for us about unity, that as Christians, if we share a common direction and a common sense of community and commitment to one another, then we can get where God wants to take us corporately a whole lot more quickly and without some of the energy that it would take to try and do it. In fact, we can't do it on our own. There's the other couple of other interesting things. You know, whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the pressure and the drag of doing it alone. You ever been there? You ever pulled out of formation? Out of community? Out of church? Let me tell you, there's a pressure that comes on trying to fly alone. God never intended for solo Christianity. It flies in the face of everything taught in the New Testament about what the church is. But whenever a goose falls out of formation and feels that drag, try to go alone, it quickly gets back into formation because it realizes the power of being together. And, often the lead goose will pull back a little, they'll rotate so that the lead goose is not carrying. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? The lead goose. It's kind of a good... Listen, how good is this? You can be as smart as a goose and you'll do well. And here's the other thing. You know, geese from behind in formation, they will honk to encourage those up front. Now, this is not the kind of honking you do when you're in traffic. That is not encouraging honking. Okay, no, it's a honk to encourage those who are taking the weight up front. Oh, there's a great lesson for church life. That's a great lesson for church life. Often there's some honking, yeah. But let it be encouragement. Let it be, come on, yeah, you can do it. Come on, we can get there, come on. That makes a difference. That's a great lesson for the church. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a goose. It's your moment of opportunity. Great lesson for the church. In Acts chapter 4, it says they were all in one accord and the place was shaken because of the power of being in one. So God loves that atmosphere. He loves faith, atmosphere, that enthusiasm. He loves unity. Let me give you another one. He loves faithfulness. He loves faithfulness. What is that? It's different from faith. The Bible definition, and if you check it out, and you can, but take my word for it at the moment, means to be steadfast, to be dedicated, to be dependable, to be consistent, to be reliable, to be worthy of trust, to be loyal. It means, the dictionary says, it's to be steady in allegiance, affection, loyal, reliable. Sometimes when it comes to the church, I think, you know, people who are members of football clubs are even more loyal and more faithful to their football team than sometimes we are to church. It's a bit like it was grand final time, and there was a woman who was sitting alone in the members, the place was packed, but the woman was sitting alone and with an empty seat next to her in the members stand. And during half time, one of the guys a couple of rows behind had noticed, and he approached her and he said, I noticed the empty seat, somebody not able to come. And she responded that she and her husband had been season ticket holders and members for 28 years, and he'd passed away. The seat had belonged to him. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And he said, you couldn't find a friend or a relative to come with you? And she said, oh, it was very difficult. They're all at his funeral. So now she was faithful to her football team. Faithfulness is demonstrated both in relation to what we do and in relation to people. It's a quality, listen to this. Faithfulness is a quality that takes us beyond personal preference. I love, and I wouldn't want to start naming people. I could name people in this church whose incredible reliability and consistency and faithfulness have helped build this church. I mean, there are people like, and I take my hat off to like Norma and Phil. Like, my goodness, what, you know, and in the years that I've been here, that they've been here, just have been so faithful, put their hand up, reliable, consistent, just one, and there are many, many others I could name. See, many people are fine while everything goes well. But faithfulness is that quality that enables you to be there and go even when things are maybe not going so good. What would happen if we applied that same principle of faithfulness we demonstrate often to Christ and to the church, if that was the attitude we had towards many other things in life? I mean, if your car started 2 times out of 3... you wouldn't consider it reliable, would you? I was flying into Brisbane a couple of weeks ago, and it was gotten very windy, and the pilot came on and, you know, said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, there'll be a few bumps. And could feel the plane being buffeted. I mean, it's in those moments that, you know, they earn their money. And I'm so glad he didn't come on and say, ladies and gentlemen, he said, it's a bit windy today, but listen, you don't need to worry, because 9 out of 10 times we get this thing down okay. No, I want greater reliability than that. Thank you very much. If your fridge worked 28 days out of 30. So how do you measure up on the reliability, consistency, faithfulness deal in life? God loves it. And listen, if you're not sure how important this is, by the way, it's not hard to find. It's not easy to find. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And scriptures again indicate that God's favor and blessing is upon those who are faithful. Just listen to these scriptures quickly. Psalm 31, 23. Love the Lord and all his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. Wow. Psalm 101, verse 6. His eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. My eyes, says, shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Proverbs 28, 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. 1 Samuel 26, 23. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. Jesus taught about the importance of faithfulness in the parables of the talents, and he talks about the faithful servant. We live for well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we live for. How important is it? And it's being faithful, Jesus teaches it, in the smaller things that enable us, him to entrust us with even greater things. Faithfulness. Last one. How many of you know God favors and God loves an atmosphere of praise? Praise comes from originally the Latin word, which means value or price or worth. So when we praise God, what we are doing is we are proclaiming his merit. We are proclaiming his worth. I love Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, "You are holy, you that inhabits the praises of Israel." The New King James says, "You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." I love the way the Message puts it. Listen to this. I love this picture. It says, "You are above it all, leaning back on the cushions of Israel's praise." Oh, what a great picture that is. It's like God's comfortable, God loves. He's enthroned. His presence is there when we praise him. When we praise him. Oh, it's not always easy. In the midst of the dungeon experiences like Paul and Silas, and but midnight at the darkest hour, and they've done nothing wrong, they've been obedient to God, and they're going through stuff that's unfair, and they break out in praise. Oh, come on, what's wrong with them? I got to tell you, that's not always easy. There are moments, how many of you ever had those thoughts, "God, it's not fair. God, why? I've been obedient, I've whatever it might be." But you know what happened in that prison that night when they began to praise him? God showed up, because he just loves. Wherever there's praise in the atmosphere, God inhabits it. He resides there. He dwells there. His presence is manifest in power. And in those few moments at midnight, it says suddenly there was an earthquake, a violent shaking. The foundations of the prison were shaken. And the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose because God showed up. Sometimes when you want God to show up in our lives, you just got to praise him. Even if you're sitting in stocks at midnight in a stinking dungeon. That's not an easy thing to do, but God loves it. God loves it. And that atmosphere, it's just one of the things God favors. So this morning as we close, my prayer is for you as an individual that your life will be a place that God favors. That he just loves being around you, because in your life there is faith, there's this unbridled enthusiasm, because there's peace and harmony, because there's reliability and consistency and faithfulness, and because there is praise. And all those things create an atmosphere that God loves. And I pray that as we move forward in the days ahead, even with this wonderful church, that we will be a place that God favors, where he comes again and again and again, and he just keeps coming back, and he lies back on the cushions of praise out of this house and out of our lives. His presence is evident and manifest. Would you bow your heads, please? Would you just close your eyes for a moment? Right now, you are creating in your life, you are positioning yourself personally and as part of this corporate church. Only God really knows how we measure just on those four things, those four atmospheres. And is there some area in your life where you need to reposition yourself and for God's favor?